And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher, by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Hey, good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to a very busy Fisherman's Landing here in San Diego.
Yeah.
And we have the man, Captain Tim X from the Royal Star here. Boy, fishing is spectacular is the only way I can describe it. So Tim's going to tell you all about it. You stay tuned. This is Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from point conception to Sankatine, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me. If you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Saturday, November 4th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego, and it's our largest sale ever. Plenty of seminars by saltwater experts and over 20 reps from tackle manufacturers like Seaguar, United Composite, PowerPro, Shimano, and Olakai. Don't miss all the great seminars, the huge raffle to benefit Rollo Kids, the popular casting contest, and of course, the huge sale. For the best ever tackle bargains, check out Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Good to be back in the studio, and what a great time to be back here with Captain Tim. Today's going to be a great show.
Welcome back. War Heroes on Water. How was it?
That was rad, man. What what an awesome experience that was. An awesome tournament. Great. Couldn't be a better cause.
And you guys caught fish.
Yeah, we had great fishing. We had a couple of awesome veterans that were fishing with us on the second sea. We had good yellowfin tuna fishing, bluefin, Dorado kelps. We fished Catalina Island the second day and fished our variety and caught some bass and barracuda. It was an awesome experience, and it really rolled out the red carpet for everybody, and it was fantastic. A really cool thing to get to participate in, and God willing, I'll do that tournament every year.
That's
special. You know, we had Rod on with the Freedom Alliance guys kind of talking about it and how special it was.
Right.
And, man, it really was. It was awesome. Very fun event.
And they raised, from what I understand, close to $1.5 million for Freedom Alliance.
How cool is that?
Which benefits veterans, disabled veterans, and has saved many, many lives. So.
Yeah. The guys that we got to fish with were very humble, very cool, but they were, you know, we got to spend multiple days together. They talked about how cool that operation really is and how meaningful it was and all the things they do. And a lot of money even goes to, you know, people that didn't make it back. And, you know, they send money to the families and help kids going through school and college. It's just awesome. It was a really cool cause and a very special thing to get to be a part of. It was awesome. Yeah. I had a great time.
Well, hats off to Rod and Anthony and all the people that participated, all the 47 yachts that basically donated their yachts and their fuel and their money and their time and everything else. I mean, that's writing a big check.
I mean, you think about exactly that. I mean, it's, you know, four days away and all the fuel and time. And, like, what was so cool is, I mean, those guys didn't. That part didn't cross anybody's mind that was participating. You know, there was one boat that had a mechanical failure. I was fishing with Rod, who was also the tournament director, and we were like just kind of coming back into radio range. And obviously, you know, Rod's the guy that's in charge of, you know, when there's a problem, figuring it out. And you could hear the conversations happening via boats before we were even close enough to be able to to aid. And, you know, guys like, hey, man, boats broken down, and there was 20 people. Hey, we got, you know, we're on a 70-footer. We got two open staterooms. Bring the boys over here. We'll have steaks ready for them when you get here. Like,
wow.
Everybody was so happy and willing to do more. It was rad. It was
That's
really, really
cool.
Good time.
Great team.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah,
it was cool. Hats off to those guys. They killed it.
So, War Heroes on Water. So, you're going next year.
Can't wait, man.
I'll be back.
You're
signed up.
Yeah.
All right. Good for you. Again, good for you for taking the time to participate in that. And good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning.
Dude, how about this fishing right now?
I don't know whether this could be... No, last week was really good. No, the week before that was really good, too. But could be one of the most epic weeks in history?
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how this year is unfolding. You know, it's like... I mean, obviously, there's been such incredible fishing in so many different places.
Big time.
Yeah. And it almost like... You know, it's like a little by little by little by little... You know, even in August, remember, we talked about in the last show, we're just expecting this massive influx of yellowfin, you know, they're coming, and they just kind of didn't really, but, you know, they slowly trickled in, you know, here and there, and but between the bluefin, between the Dorado, between a few yellows, there was always an alternative.
It's always something.
You know what I mean? There's something to fish for, and I get the sense in that yellowfin in particular, it's been here all along, it's just been... You know, it's been down, it's been, you know, it's been flighty, whatever. It's been blown up into a million pieces. You know, we've seen that. You see jumpers for 50 miles, you know, one fish boil here and there. So it's just, historically, this is when, maybe a little bit later, you know, later in September, but that's kind of been the theme, really, the last few years, going on 5 or 6 years now, where, you know, September is August. October is September.
How true is that?
You know,
totally.
Think about the last 3, 4 years, 5 years. We've had good fishing for yellowfin tuna in November.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all...
Even scratching December. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Totally.
And everything right now points to that same scenario. I mean, it sure looks like it. And the bluefin isn't going anywhere. It's settled in, you know. There's hot spots that flare up, but the main point is there's a bunch of it around.
Spread all over the place, right?
I know it.
I mean, it's like close and far and in between.
It was interesting as heck that you know, that storm that rolled through in August. That event was the most... That probably had the most transformative impact on conditions and fishing of any storm that I've seen roll through here.
Interesting.
And it wasn't that, you know, I mean, on a scale, it wasn't that big.
Yeah,
But it actually was. I mean, it rolled the whole ocean. You know, and how, oddly, how about, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, hurricane or, you know, tropical system coming up, you know, it's going to push all that warm water up. What did it do? It rolled everything over. Like
by a considerable amount.
Yeah.
Several degrees. It was cold everywhere.
Right, a huge upwelling, and you know, you historically, that's what those things do. You know what I mean? They suck all that energy out of warm water. They roll, you know, they bring cold water up from down below. That's what they do, and that's what we saw. That really threw a wrench into the works there for quite a while.
Sure, on the beach too. I mean, you had to go 40, 50 miles before you started to even see the effects start to loosen its grip.
Yeah,
and it took a week, 10 days, you know, 12 days for things to kind of reorganize. Organized to get straightened out, and that bluefin, there was that dip where, you know, everything kind of, I know there were a few times where all of us were like, uh-oh, you know, yeah, what's going to happen? Well, it's almost like they took a ride up north, you know, a little spin, you know, up in Central Coast
check
or whatever.
This out for a little bit.
Yeah, and then in one day, all of a sudden, everything filled back in. That was that second week of August, or September, rather. Oh, my gosh. You know, that was, it's like all that fish showed up again. And you know, typically what we see when fish show back up in an area, they're starving.
They're ready.
Yeah, they're starving. They're
That's ready. How I like them, starving.
They're ready to get it on. And they did. I mean, how about that night fishing that happened there? I mean, guys were just one-stop shopping it on 70 to 90 pounders, 70 to 120 pounders, you know, 80 or 90 of them in a stop or two stops.
Oh,
you know, it was out there west of
Unbelievable.
You want to talk about some just... you know, this rivals, it doesn't even rival, it eclipses, you know, the great days of fishing at Hurricane Bank or Clary and the night fishing, you know what I mean?
That,
like Bill Poole said, you say, these are the good old days,
these
right?
are.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's almost like sounding cliche to say, but it really is true. I mean, like, how many times have you been on a 18-day trip and not seen every guy on board with a 100-pounder on? And I mean, it's unbelievable some of the scores that have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Just ask the processors,
right?
How overwhelmed they are.
Well, it's good we can talk about that.
Yeah.
As your show unfolds, because, you know, we'll get into this, but with such incredible fishing, with such incredible volume, comes a lot of responsibility on the anglers
right.
to not be a weasel in the hen house. Pull the throttles back, you know. And I said the last show we talked,
yeah,
we had a bunch of time to talk about this. You know, it's like, think about what you're going to do with that fish ahead of time, what you want to do with it, how much you really want to handle. And I'll repeat myself. This is coming from, you know, I'm a part owner of a processor.
This is coming from a guy who makes his money from
right.
processing.
Exactly, and catching fish.
Sure.
And the more we catch, the better. But there is a threshold, and when that threshold gets crossed to where, you know, anglers return, and now I believe most of the boats, if not all, like we do on Royal Star, we keep track of the individual fish. Every single one that goes in the hatch.
Yeah, you know where you stand.
Marked on a list next to the angler's number, you know, in the appropriate species category. So anytime an angler can consult that board that's back there in the bait tank and say, okay, I got four of these, three of these, five of these, or what, you know, whatever.
You could be having a good day, go eat lunch, kind of regroup, and look at the board. And be like, oh man, I better think about releasing a couple of these things.
So is that what you do? It's like if an angler says, okay, I have plenty, I don't want a $5,000 processing bill. can I release now? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Whatever the motivation is.
Give
I don't mind the $5,000 processing.
Yeah, let's get that right.
Yeah, that's okay. all kidding aside,
yeah.
I just don't want to see any of this fish, any of this bounty wasted or not appreciated, or just so there's just such an overwhelming quantity that, I mean, I've been there myself where,
sure,
you know, I get a couple bluefin filleted, you know, I got a 100-pounder and a 50-pounder, whatever, bring it home, you get the giant cooler sitting in the back. Hey, sometimes it can be hard to give that much fish away.
100%.
You know, I mean, I'm the most popular man in the neighborhood. You know,
for sure.
Fresh bluefin.
That's like, and for neighborhood, he rolls up and sees Tim with a white cooler in the back. Hey, look at this.
But I mean, you know, 100 pounds, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It's like, who else do I know? You know,
yeah.
Who else do I know? Pretty soon, you know, and, you know, you're down there at the boatyard. You're down there at Marine Exchange, which is all great.
Oh, but, yeah. But you don't have to do that.
That's right. You don't have to do it every time. And I know that can become burdensome. So I'm so, you know, guys, it's been my crusade. Everybody's heard it on here for a long time. Be responsible about how much you take. You just don't, you know.
Let them go.
Two or three of those 100 to 120-pound bluefin, that's so much fish.
So much
it's a
fish.
Ton.
Yeah.
And your limit's six. If you have a place for all six of those and family and friends, you're good. Take them. But if you're at the dock, you know, I've seen it a couple times where it's like a couple. That goes out, right? And now you got 12 of them. that's a huge amount of fish. So.
I cannot tell you how many. Tim nailed it. It's exactly that. It's the party of people. It's three buds. It's a couple. It's whatever that is. How many times guys have been in the shop like and look up, you know, look straight up. We have those big giant kill bags, which we always sold kill bags for two guys going in a skiff, you know, trying to ice down their big tuna. Now there's so much fish. I mean, guys are going to drive back up to Central California and literally like, you know, they each brought a 50-quart cooler. And realize, like, dude, they've got a truck bed's worth of fish. You know, like,
right.
You know, we need two of those giant bags to get our fish home.
Yeah, I've packed many of those over there.
So be responsible on what you take.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, in times of bounty, once again, you really have to, you got to pay attention to that. You got to be keenly aware of what you're taking. And the one thing I would say that, you know, yeah, release fish all day long. We're happy to, you know, we lean down there, snip the hook off. We reverse the direction of the gap, put it down there by the fish's mouth, you know, pull in opposite directions, pop the hook out. The one caveat to that is that night fishing with jigs,
night fishing's right. tough.
You can't release them.
Yeah.
You just have to, you just got to sit it out and encourage everybody else.
Yeah,
you know, if
sure.
somebody else wants one, hey, you want this? Great. But, yeah. you know.
Go back to bed.
Yeah, hit the sack, man. 1:30 in the morning.
Man. You got
yeah, you got three of them already.
Get up here, man. Get out of here.
Exactly. Like I said, watch the show. You know, encourage everybody. You got a lot of options.
That's funny.
You know?
Yeah.
So you recognize that boat backing into Fisherman's Landing right now?
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah,
I like it.
Good.
Okay. Okay. Royal Star her. Backing in right now at Fisherman's Landing. Where's she coming back from?
It's a three-day trip, and it was incredibly successful. Once again, they had really good fishing on yellowfin tuna the last couple of days.
How
nice, great.
I was going to say, man, how crazy is the size of fish we're catching? You know, over the last 10 years, you get so used to catching, you know, we call them footballs, and man, that's not what's going on right now.
No, this year there was two years ago, there's a really good hatch on, you know, excellent recruitment on yellowfin, and that. The coast is just, I mean, there's tons of it. It's everywhere. Everywhere you're catching yellowfin, and there's smaller ones down there in the ridge and the like, but the vast majority of what we've been catching this year is that 20 to 30-pound fish. It's beautiful. Great. There's some bigger, you know, some smaller, but again, 90-some-odd percent of it is 25, 28 pounds.
Like a 30-pound average almost.
Yeah, beautiful.
We, you know, obviously, we weighed all our fish in for that tournament. We had a 33-pound average on our yellowfin. That was our average, you know.
On yellowfin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
well, you know what it is. They're getting bigger. Yeah, the grocery.
Yeah.
Here's good eating.
And they grow fast.
Oh, they do.
So I hate to bring this up, but the obvious question breaks. It's like the purse seine boats. Why aren't they just wrapping all this stuff up? Are they done?
I don't know if they're done. I mean, obviously, they're catching elsewhere. You know, there's good fishing going on.
Good fishing all over the place.
Exactly.
You can bet it's good wherever they are at.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to. I mean, you know they know where it is. I mean, there's no question. They're good fishermen. And,
But
it's. I guess we're thankful that they're staying somewhere else.
Yeah, there's a really good year. There's an abundance. And you know, they're just like us. They're going to go to the closest possible place, you know, where they can be productive. So, you know, they don't need to come up this way or come up, you know, on the ridge. Or wherever else, great, and keep getting them, boys. You know, glad you're doing good.
Keep it rolling.
Exactly.
So, what's on tap for the Royal Star here? Some unusually different short trips in late September here.
Well,
right?
we got a couple of 3 days that we threw in there, and we're actually adapting our schedule. I mean, look at the fishing.
What are you talking about here, right? How could you not?
You know, it used to be, you want to run your shorter trips in June, July, August, and then start running longer trips in September. Well, the last 6 or 7 years. The paradigm is shifting, you know what I mean? To where, hey, man, you want to be on a 3 or 4 day trip in September, in October. I mean, we've run a bunch of them, you know, inserted them into our schedule, and I'm not, you know, looking for the wood to knock on, but we've been incredibly successful on a percentage basis. You know, the vast majority have had great fishing opportunities. So following that and watching these historic patterns, we actually put two more 4 days in the September schedule next year to take advantage of it. I love running those shorter trips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Great trip.
Yeah. We love fishing here, be it a 3 day, be it a 40. You got a ton of options now. And this time of year, typically the water is warmer up and down the coast. So it really does open that coastal door.
Yeah.
You know, this crap's a bed up here or falls short, whatever. You know, you can roll down and fish yellows, look for yellows somewhere down along the Baja coast.
Sure.
There's a lot of options available. And, you know, this is the time of year to be on those short ones. That said, this is our last short trip until we've got 2 3 days after Thanksgiving and another one in December, which, you know, again, normally you'd think these guys are crazy. You know, a 3 day after Thanksgiving, they're going to go be a rock cut special or something.
Yeah, cow special.
But it's not. We've run that 3 day after Thanksgiving the last few years. We've run a 3 day after Christmas. We've run a 3 day in December. And every one of them has had good opportunities at bluefin tuna.
That's so cool.
And I expect the same thing. You know, short of a storm showing up or something, you know, I expect the same thing this year.
What a cool trip that after Thanksgiving one is, too, because it's easy on a... potentially easier on a guy's schedule. You got holiday time off after that anyways. I mean, you're able to slide out, get the full offshore big Royal Star experience and take little to no time off of work to do so.
Yeah. So Friday morning after Thanksgiving, load up on turkey, show up at the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Saturday, Sunday, fishing on the water, back home Monday.
Spots available?
I don't think so.
No.
We did put another one in because we had that's at the back end of that week. I'll take a quick look. I don't think so.
We can check it out.
Yeah.
But one thing I got to tell you while you're checking that out is we had our Let's Talk Hookup 4-day Royal Star trip, and Ron Lane went as our Let's Talk Hookup representative. Ron Lane had never been on the Royal Star, and he was like, oh, my. That boat, the food, the crew. We kept on talking. The crew was unbelievable on that boat, and they caught so much fish and had so much fun. He was just raving about the boat, the crew, the food, every aspect of the operation. And he said the fish that he sent to Fisherman's Processing was some of the best he's ever had.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Yeah. We had a great trip. You know, we had that good fishing there on Tanner Bank. We were above Tanner Bank. That's right. Of course, I have to.
Yeah. That was.
We can't imagine those lining together. Yeah.
No, we had an epic night fight on that trip.
Yeah.
Epic. That was my son Duke was on that trip.
Yes.
And what a magic experience.
Cool.
Can't get on the personal side here, but what a magic experience. I mean, my son Duke. Everybody,
he was a deckhand.
Yeah, he was working. Everybody was fishing with him. Needless to say, we've chronicled his development on Royal Star since he was 3 years old. You know, but he's really very, very good when he's working on the deck, and we just got this just ripper, you know, night bite, all like, you know, whatever they were, 70 to 150s. And I mean, like, everyone had one on hour and a half. It was game on, man. I mean, we were
on the ropes.
Mayhem. Yeah, we were just huffing and puffing. But, you know, to be there shoulder to shoulder with my son.
That's pretty cool,
you know,
dude.
That's grinding it out, you know. all of us were, I mean, it was a magic experience. It was, and an incredible stop. And then we caught so much of that bluefin. It was such good fishing. You know, I was like, man, we're gonna get out of here and go look for some yellowtail. You've got plenty of time. And we rolled down there. It just so happened there was great bluefin fishing, so the whole fleet was up there focused on that bluefin. We rolled down there to Cortez Bank on the south end and just had the whole place to ourselves.
That's so rad.
Ripping big enough.
Oh, yeah. Beauties.
Yeah.
Like 22 to 28 pounders.
Oh,
you know, 30
my
pounders.
God.
It was just... It was fantastic.
Gotta love it. Speaking of Duke has started his college career at Vanderbilt.
He's been doing great. You know, he's in the opening round. So you know, they're it's all training and preparation. He's getting his shoulder back fit and started his throwing program come November. You know, he's so far so good. I mean, he's
That's
loving
cool.
the experience.
Is
you know,
he?
Yeah, he's a guy's
doing
guy.
Doing well in school.
Yeah, he is. But he's a guy's guy. I mean, like to switch from a boat to a baseball team.
Yeah, to a locker room.
You know
no
what I mean?
Big deal.
Like, yeah, it's easy transition.
Yeah. Well, as you can hear, we have a great show lined up for you today.
Always so much fun having Captain Tim in here, and so much fun stuff to cover, and we're looking forward to talking to you. If you want to be a part of Let's Talk Hookup this morning, give us a call at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090 is how you reach us here this morning. Going to be a great show. Very busy on the phones. Also very busy on the text. Such an easy way if you want to get your questions in. Text the show. It's a very popular option. Let's Talk Hookup. The only way you can send in a text message is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. If you don't have it already, you should sure download it. Such an easy way to send your text questions in, and you can catch all the archive shows. You can, if you got something going on in the weekend, you can catch up with Let's Talk Hookup during the week. Listen on your drive home. It's a great option, that Let's Talk Hookup app. And again, it's the only way that you can text in your questions to the show. Make sure that you include your contact information when you do, because if you win the big prize, we want to make sure it'll... pardon me, make sure that we're able to get it to you. And speaking of a great prize, what a killer prize this one is today. Someone is going to get to go fishing on board the Liberty for a full-day trip at a Fisherman's Landing. And if you have been following along, those guys have been absolutely crushing it on the Liberty. Yesterday, yet again, fantastic fishing. So cool to see. I mean,
on
you know.
On a full-day trip.
Yes.
They're leaving the dock at 5:30, coming back at 5:30.
With fantastic tuna fishing. Yeah. Bluefin, yellowfin, everything. I mean, day after day. after day, those guys are just doing a tremendous job. And somebody at the end of today's show, whether it be a caller or a texter, which will be decided by the prize going to the end of the show, is going to get in on that crazy good fishing there. So, yeah, fantastic prize. Great opportunity. Again, send us your text or give us a call, 213-432-1090. When we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls. So much cool info coming your way. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of the beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing for the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
As the inventor and world leader in fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered with 4-liter choices to help you catch more fish. Gold Label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with high break strength and softness. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions. From 2 pounds to 400 pounds, pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com. For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captain and the crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Saturday, November 4th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle, top tackle reps like Aftco Psycho Pro Fluorocarbon, and incredible deals on Aftco clothing. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Going to be a great day again. If you want to get on the fun with Captain Tim, talking Royal Star, talking Fisherman's Landing, Fisherman's Processing, and just some good old fishing, 213-432-1090.
First sign of Tackle Day.
Yeah.
Just a little over a month away, November 4th.
It's coming fast. This is going to be a really... This is going to be a really good year for Tackle Day. Some things happen where you get to offer better deals than others. And what happened this year was there was a lot of model changes on reels, model changes on rods. And so rather than, you know, when all of a sudden a price protection goes away or inventory becomes available, we, you know, rather than just trickle that out through the year, we gobbled it all up and saved it for Tackle Day. So, I mean, this will be the big
one.
This will probably be the biggest one we've ever done. A lot of two speeds, a lot of very high-end, first-rate, first-run rods, lots of closeouts, all the normal stuff. We do all the two-for-ones and buy-twos and get-ones, and all that stuff will always be there. But this will be a huge year for, like, really high-end inventory that might have had a color change or a model change, or this reel now has a different handle. So the old one, which was just as good or better, now all of a sudden becomes available at a killer deal. Like, this is going to be a mega Tackle Day for us.
Yeah, big Tackle Day.
Yep, first Saturday in November.
I can think of one model, that Talica A. You know, it could, yeah.
You never know.
Could together. Could do some deals.
It turned into quite the event, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's really proud of it. Yeah, I mean, rivals Day at the Docks, even. I mean, and just the amount of participation between other vendors and just the amount of people that come down.
Yeah, totally.
It's
a good one.
We love it. I mean, don't get me wrong. We love Day at the Docks, too, but we always joke that Tackle Day is like Day at the Docks without the face paint.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's 20 or 25 hardcore saltwater. I mean, all the who's, all the major rod and reel manufacturers. And then we've really tried to do a lot of, like, niche cool stuff. You know, we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, there's been so much focus on the vertical jigging, and so we've got some of the real high-end, you know, manufacturers of the jigs and, like, the expert young guys that are super into it doing seminars talking about how the fishing is and how the gear changes. It's just going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool event. We're pumped.
I mentioned something about that earlier in the year on our daily narrative, and just as a heads up to everybody, if they've got some of those young experts that can give some pro tips, if you will, make time to come down and sit in, because it makes a huge difference. And that's coming from a guy who, you know, I've fished alongside those guys that have they've got the young group of hotshot jiggers on there.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've got our regular groups of guys who, you know, they come out once a year or whatever, and they, you know, they're into fishing, but they're not into it like that, and we just get our ass handed to us, man. Those guys just—I mean—they catch them 3-1 over us. You know, if you're sitting there with a international 50, you know, with 150-pound leader in your jig, just sitting there, you know, as opposed to that guy over there on the other boat, is, you know, got his little
yanking and cranking,
doing the whole thing, man. It's just, God, those guys just ruin us. And then, you know, we've obviously adapted. We're much better at it now. It seems like every trip we've got a few at least. In, you know, interspersed in our groups, and those, you know, you see it in action. You know, the thing that blows me away, Ricky, is how effective those little jigging rods are.
Crazy, right?
At winding them in.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, God, you know, we're always of this mindset. You know, bigger's better. You know, I want a 50 international or a Talica 50. You know, and just grind those in. You know, those are great, but I mean, those little jigging reels, some of these, you know, oh, he's on up there in the bow, and, you know, 3 minutes later, somebody's screaming up there, and it's a 150-pounder. You know, things just
flopping on the surface.
Blue back in, you know, hot, but they just grind those things right up. I've done it myself. You know, all the guys in the boat, we've all there's something to it, man. I don't know, the leverage, the gear ratio in the reels, those things are really effective.
Totally.
Yeah. You know, obviously. Brian Wynn was on a couple weeks ago, and I was amazed at the interest in that show. And I if you missed it, it's on the podcast of Let's Talk Hookup on our app as well as our website. You definitely want to hear that. But he was talking about pointing that rod right at the fish and grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just any – they give an inch, you take it. You just – as long as that thing is just – they just keep coming. They keep coming in the direction that pressure is coming from. And, man, I'm telling you, if I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times this year where – 2-3 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, all of a sudden this thing is, and those 70 to 90 pounders, oh my, they don't stand a chance. I mean, that's just like, here he is. You know,
he's like, what? Yeah. What happens when you stick a gaff in those things?
Well, you know, that's, then things really get sucked.
You hope Duke was working that trip.
Yeah.
Send him dealing with it.
Send one of the young guys over there.
Things do get exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have some great texts, some phone calls. You want to get through, one line still open, 213-432-1090. Gary White, the Iron Man, has a question. He says, good morning, Tim. What about Guadalupe this year? And he also want to know about deals. We just talked about that, so stay tuned. We'll have lots of deals at Tackle Day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Guadalupe's Guadalupe. We all know that they changed the management plan and did not include either shark diving or sport fishing out there in the version that was released in 2022. So the only thing I can say is that I know there's a lot of business interests, especially in Mexico, that are lobbying hard in favor of reopening the island to tourism, both the shark diving and the recreational fishing. So it's not a dead issue, but, you know, it's like anything in politics. It's a heavy lift, you know. But the good news is there is interest. There's a movement afoot.
There's a lot. Progress.
Yeah, there's progress. There's a lot of economic benefit to be. You know, realized down there in Mexico, Ensenada. I mean, there's a lot of money at stake. You know, everybody knows the last year we were fishing out there, everybody was paying basically 75 or 80 bucks a day
per person.
That's in addition to the fare on the boat. And, you know, that was a charge that Mexico came up with to generate more revenue for the benefit of the reserve, right? Well, you can imagine $75-$80 a day per person on every long range boat down there, on every dive boat. That was a big pot of money at the end of the year. That,
and now all of a sudden that's gone.
It's gone. They
yeah, and
they're
probably now they go, whoa, maybe that was not such a good idea,
you know,
right?
Tens of millions of dollars, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of money. And you know, as long as it can be demonstrated, which I think unequivocally it is, that there's no negative, no significant negative impact on the environment.
All right.
You know, we're fishing for pelagics out there, tuna and wahoo and yellowtail.
Nothing's changed out there since we left.
Oh yeah, we're not damaging the population. Yeah. We're not interfering with the sharks. I mean, if anything, the sharks are
going to see
they're probably crying, crocodiles.
Yeah, they're going, where's all the
grub? Man, they were dining on tuna right and left out there for a number of years. Now they're, you know, skinny.
You got to kind of wonder if it's affected the shark population down there.
I don't know.
It'd go somewhere else.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I do know that for there was a number of years where, you know, as everybody knows the history of there, it's been a back and forth, you know, since beginning about 2003 or 2004, where the boats are out of there, they're in there, they're out of there. There was like a 4 or 5 year period where there really wasn't any traffic there, and we figured, well, maybe the sharks will change their habit, behavior, pattern, and we got back in there, and they didn't.
They
remembered right away.
Yeah,
exactly.
What's so crazy about those things is, like, they don't get full. Like, one shark can just sit, you know, and maybe they, you know, they'll meander in, they'll meander out, but, like, one, if one really wants it, they just have the ability to eat those things.
Well, they're big.
It's crazy.
Yeah, well, what I see, even when they do get full, that's when you start getting half fish,
okay,
or you get a third of it back, or they bite a third of it off. They can hardly fit another bite, but they just can't resist bite the thing, to tear it up. You know, they
doing
have
their
to
thing.
We go off on this topic, but what I'm always fascinated about, and we saw it all the way up till last year when we lost our ability to fish there. There's like a 2-day period at some point in the year between, you know, the end of September and end of October when they just leave. They leave the island.
So crazy, right?
I mean, like, one day they're just annihilating you. You know, you're moving everywhere, trying to stay ahead of them, and they're eating fish. And the next day there's like, hey, what? Like, we're starting to catch a few. They're leaving us alone. The next day you never see one, and they're gone for the rest of the year.
Crazy.
It is the
so
damnedest
weird.
Thing. It's just a, you know, incredible example of nature and phenomenon.
Yeah. It's like, not like they're leaving because there's no more food.
No.
I mean, the food was exactly the same
exactly
as it was the day
same.
Before.
But somewhere...
There's a program somewhere.
Yeah, the call goes out.
Yeah. Okay, it's time to go.
Time to get out of here, boys.
Somewhere else.
Roll it up.
Yeah. Well, phones are packed. They want to talk to Tim. Let's jump into it, Rick.
That sounds great. How about we start it off with Richard? He's got us from San Diego this morning. Richard, thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Richard.
I've got a question for Tim. I am on the Bite sport fishing trip that goes out next Sunday. And this will be my first trip longer than 4 days. So what kind of gear or tackle might I need to go see Rick for a trip like that?
Well, I don't think you need to make a lot of changes in your tackle based on what I know now. The only thing I would say is if you have some wahoo gear or if you don't have wahoo gear, you want to have something. You know, there have not been big boom and catches of wahoo down below at Laos Rocha, you know, the Ridge. There have been a few, you know, in good enough to where you should have something prepared to target those. Be it, yeah, and I know, Richard, that you've got gear that will suffice, you know, already as far as winding them in. But, you know, you want to make sure you have a jig, you have bombs, you know, you have something to wire them up, which we have on the boat. But if you want to be prepared ahead of time, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah.
We had a couple of people literally in the shop yesterday asking about it, like, oh, I'm going on my first trip. I want to catch a wahoo. 9 times out of 10, the outfit that you already have for a yo-yo, jig, and a yellowtail will suffice exactly the same for winding in a wahoo. Something with a reel that's fairly torquey, high speed, fish 50 pound. A lot of times a guy's probably already got a perfectly good rig for catching a wahoo that he's just been using for yellowtail.
something a little stiffer, maybe a rod a little stiffer if you're throwing a jig, especially to get that hook in the mouth of the wahoo.
Sure. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you're, you know, oftentimes the quality that you look for in a good yo-yo jigging yellowtail rod would be similar to a
right,
wahoo. Like, if you didn't have the budget to go out and buy a new outfit, you probably already have something that's going to work pretty good for it.
Well, have fun on that trip, Richard. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You have a great text there.
I thought so, and it was a beginning type question, which is always a good one. It's from John in Rancho San Diego. It says, guys, thanks for the great show. Captain Tim, I've got two questions if I could. One, what is your preferred way to pin a bait on when fly lining for tuna that you can see up on the surface? And also, what are your thoughts about the higher end spinning reels these days, like the Shimano Stella, et cetera, when fishing for tuna?
The spinning reels are great, you know, as long as, I used to say, oh, you know, as long as the fish aren't over, you know, 40 pounds or something like that. That's not true either. I go back a lot of years with watching that group of anglers from Thailand that fished with us on those tagging trips in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. I watched those guys wail on 100 to 150 pound yellowfin tuna with those spinning, you know, Stellas were the ones that they used. And you can put a lot of pressure on those things. I mean, those guys are fishing 100-pound and 130-pound.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, is your average angler ready to do that kind of battle on a big spinning reel? Not really, but for fly lining baits, especially this local tuna, they're fantastic. You know, you can really whip one way out there. Hooking baits, I have three favorites. The belly hook, which is, you know, there's that set of fins on a sardine. There's two of them underneath it, and I just real lightly go underneath that set of fins about halfway back. And then I do like that collar hook, you know, behind the neck. You just or behind the head, rather, in the neck, you know, gently go through about, you know, I don't know, a millimeter, 2 millimeters of the muscle there, so it doesn't fall off the hook. And then if the fish are boiling around on the outside, and they're you're not seeing a lot of quick bites, you got, especially some wind. If you gotta cast it, a nose hooked bait is epic for the long cast. I mean, you can a nose hooked bait, you know, you go through that little bony structure in the nose. It's really firm. You can cast that thing like a jig. I mean, you can get it way the heck out there. You know, make a 50, 60 foot cast
and soak it for a long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and they're great. They fish. It's kind of like that neck hook one where you can fish it all the way out and all the way back in. You just slow wind and low gear. And that thing is a fishing bait all the way till it gets back to the boat. But for getting out away from the boat, you know, slow drift, not a lot, you know, weak current where, you know, your baits are meandering around, that you can whip that thing way the hell out there. It makes a big difference.
That was a great description on that shoulder neck hook thing, because you're right. If you go a little too deep, you know it right away. And that, you know, there's less of a margin for error, and it doesn't take all that deep. You know, the hook goes into them. All you need to do is hang it on there for the cast, and them swimming line away. But you're right. You can see a mistake being made of the hook going too deep and touching the spine, and then the bait just starts wiggling with you and doesn't swim at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you fish in a small circle hook, it's not the easiest method to get in, but you can do it. You just have to place it right.
Yeah, you obviously, holding the bait, you know, how you hold the bait in your hand makes a big difference. You know, you got to flip the thing upright, and it does. It takes some finesse, but it's well worth it. I've seen that work. I mean, I said before, the first one I ever saw hook his bait like that, and we're going back like 20 years, is Bruce Postumus. Bruce was way, way ahead of his time in hooking his baits that way. And I don't know whether somebody else just adapted from what they saw or how it caught on, but you know, once anglers started using that more, it's really effective. I mean, nobody neck hooked their bait.
Right, sure.
25, other than Bruce, nobody did. You never saw that.
No.
But now a lot of anglers do.
Oh, yeah.
It's effective. I'll tell you what I saw. This goes back again another 10 years or so. One of the guys, he's a European angler. And Martin, I can't even pronounce his last name because there's like 9 consonants in a row in it. But but he had one of those little needles, and he actually went through it and made a little harness,
a little bridle,
That's what he made, a little bridle on the neck hook baits. And man, that guy was slaying.
Really,
I believe
that.
Made a difference.
I totally believe that.
He did it with a little rubber band.
Sure.
Man, I'm telling you, those baits lasted forever.
Huh.
Way the heck out there. I mean, it's a little more detailed than I would go into, you know, or be fishing bluefin here, but if it was slow fishing, tough bites, and you were just looking for anything to elicit a bite,
Man, that's
note
not, a,
self,
bad, that's not a bad idea. That's,
oh,
that's a light bulb thing for
it
sure.
It worked.
Yeah. That's good dope there. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls. We got catch reports and more. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Summer is here, and gas prices are going up, up, up. So now more than ever, you need Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. Pull up to the newly expanded Summit Gasoline and get low, low gas and diesel prices for your car, truck, and boat. They can now accommodate 24 cars and trucks to fuel at the same time, plus 12 diesel boats, plus 100 pounds of free ice with a minimum 35-gallon fill-up. Easy in and out, too. Step into the Summit Bistro and enjoy what Martha and her crew have for you on things you can use. Fresh-made burritos, sandwiches, salads, along with beer, beverages, and, of course, always free ice. So many Let's Talk Hookup listeners have taken advantage of Summit Gasoline's low prices, great service, and free ice. They have become the largest seller of fresh gourmet ice in Southern California. Summit also sells frozen bait and fishing licenses 24 hours a day. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, free ice, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Hey, it's time to talk about great stuff from Shimano. And, you know, the best reel ever built, I think, is undisputedly the Talica.
No doubt.
And how do you improve perfection?
Yeah.
Well, they just did. Shimano did it with the new Talica A.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, you said it best. How do you improve on perfection? Well, there were little things that they did. The reel is physically smaller in your hand. It free spools a little better. It feels nicer. It's cosmetically changed. It has the same great torque and power that we've come to love out of Talica in a smaller, nicer, newer package. It's awesome, man. The Talica A is killer. They've so far done the 12s and the 16s. Those are the only models available. I'm sure that we're going to get to see the whole line to follow. But, man, what a killer reel that is.
Extra ball bearing, so it free spools even better than it did before. And just the whole profile of the reel, you look at it, and it looks so much smaller, but yet the line capacity is the same.
People said the same thing, like, I can't believe they made them smaller. That holds exactly the same amount of line. We tested it yard for yard on the machine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they just trimmed the side plates up. There's less bulk, but they still have all the, you know, all the strength in the frame. But the side plates aren't as wide. They house everything tighter. It's awesome. They killed it. I love it.
Check it out, the new Talica A at your local Shimano dealer.
Saturday, November 4th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. And it's our largest sale ever. Plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, over 20 reps from tackle manufacturers like Shimano. Come check out the new Shimano Talica A, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. When throwing jigs, the Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. For the best ever tackle bargains, check out Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning with Captain Tim. If you want to join us this morning, phone lines are absolutely packed up solid. We lost one call during the break, so this is a rare shot to get through if you want it. 213-432-1090.
Let's jump into it, Rick.
That sounds good to me. How about this time we talk to Chris? He's calling us from San Diego this morning. What's up, Chris? Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, guys. Hey, I was down at Dana Landing yesterday getting rid of my Hobie kayak because I'm too old, I can't get in it anymore. And I went around the corner and there was a tent set up with Fish and Game talking about, you know, the new rock cod rules and all that. And then there was two officers, federal Fish and Game officers, with dark blue uniforms that I'd never seen before. They said they had two here in San Diego, one up in San Pedro, and a couple others up the coast.
Yes.
You guys heard anything about that?
Jim says it's National Marine Fisheries.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what? So rockfish is regulated not by the state, by federal. It's a federal regulation. So if it had to do something with rockfish, that's what it was all about. It was the feds kind of doing the education there about the new rockfish regulation.
And so was that what that was? It was just like kind of an info tent for a guy launching his boat. If you wanted to go talk to him, they could kind of dope him up on everything rockfish.
Yeah, it was with the California Fish and Game, but these two, they were new people, and they were asking our Fish and Game people about what's going on and where they were located and how they operated. And
cool.
Then I asked them about the new rock cod rules, and yeah, that must have been. But I'll tell you, I asked them about the new rock cod rules, and my head's still spinning. That you can got to fish in 300 feet of water, but if you catch rock cod, you can't catch nothing else. Or if you're outside and catch tuna, you can come into 300 feet of water and catch rock cod, and it's okay. What the heck is going on?
Yeah. Well, they just like to make it complex for us, so yeah. So one thing for sure is I'll bet California Fish and Game, or Fish and Wildlife, or whatever they're called, was out in force last night with the opening of lobster season. The bay looked like a Christmas tree.
It's electric.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I was checking it out from the house last night. It was there were a lot of boats on the water.
I bet there were.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some successful limits wrangled out there.
I'm sure, yeah. And I can't imagine how many tickets Fish and Wildlife issued, too.
Man, we say it every year. There's not a thing that Fish and Wildlife is more proud of than the California spiny lobster.
Oh, yeah.
So don't
mess
with
it.
Dude, if you're not sure, just chuck the thing over.
Like, $800 ticket right there.
Per infraction.
Per infraction.
And they have no problem writing you a couple of them.
Oh, yeah. And if you're a boater, I might add, too, the commercial guys are placing their traps already. So just be aware when you're leaving the bay, there's traps everywhere. So just watch yourself.
I think it's going to be a good year, man.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for your call this morning. Mario in San Diego has a good text here that he did on the Let's Talk Hookup app. I've been listening for decades. Can you please explain the short rods with the offset eyes that are used for knife jigging? What are they called? Are these all custom rods? We talked a little bit about the short rods for doing the knife jigs. What are the ones that are like have the offset eyes? It's called an acid wrap. Is that right?
It's commonly called an acid wrap. It used to be called a Roberts wrap back in the day. But yeah, it's a the first guide off the stripper guide, the first guide closest to the reel is set at its normal orientation, and then as the rod bends, the rods spiral and end up underneath the rod. I've never been a big fan. The theory behind it is that it keeps the rod from torquing as much side to side.
Uh-huh.
Your line naturally wants to fall underneath the blank. So those are the theories that have always been said, and there might be something to it. I've just always grown up, like, I've never one time thought that, man, I can't believe how much this rod is torquing because my guides are straight up and down. Like, I've never felt that it be a problem before. I did get one explanation from Steve Carson, who is the most tackle expert as they get, and I did like it, and he said that some of those guys that are really speed jigging, you kind of lift the rod up and you turn the handle as the rod's coming down, and you can imagine as the rod's going up and then flying back down, you're introducing a little bit of slack into the line, like you potentially have a loop of slack. He said with a standard set of guides, it can wrap your tip easier.
Uh-huh.
And if you can imagine the spiral guide where the tip is now pointing down, it's just a flat spot, so the line will then roll off the blank. So he liked that. But the last one to counter, so there's no right or wrong answer. Let me say this. The last one was Gavin from the Pacific Queen, and it was funny, a regular of the Royal Star who's really into that, Stuart Exall, like he's a huge believer and lives overseas where that style of fishing is not a new fad, and he talked about how important it was. It was a funny debate. And then here in Gavin, who's new to it but sees extreme success, the Pacific Queen, those guys do a great job. Gavin Gavin was talking about how much he disliked seeing those guides because they tend to pile the line up on one side of the reel. And he said guys get so into the rhythm of jigging that their line is often not stacked right. And he talked about seeing it being a semi-common problem of guys that would get their line piled up so bad on the reel because those would favor piling line to one side of the reel or another. So again, I don't think that you could say one is right and the other is wrong, but that's
good information.
That's kind of lowdown.
Do you see those acid wrap rods on the Royal Star?
Yeah, we have a couple of them. Yeah. I have not seen the line pilings. In theory, I get it, and I could see that happening. But typically, the anglers that use those rods are a little more advanced and sophisticated,
totally.
and in their angling methods, and they don't pile the line. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're like, you know. Black diamond.
Sure.
It's a ski analogy.
Totally.
It's going off cornice. You know,
yeah, exactly.
As opposed to on the bunny slope. So anyway, I think that because of that, I don't see that issue as much. I'm with like you. I'm indifferent. I mean,
yeah.
For sure, I know Stuart, he fished with us forever, and he loves those things. And a lot of the anglers from Thailand that we hosted, they also used those with great success.
Yeah.
But
it's just something different.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Corkscrew thing going around.
Yeah. I always joked when I was a kid, I'm like, man, the only reason you want to do that is so that the guy standing next to you and he's forced to ask you about it. Hey, check out my rod.
Yeah.
You might have to go upside down.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, let's jump back on the phones.
I think there's something to it.
Yeah, there's something to it.
All right, how about this time we talk to Rex? He's calling us from Santa Margarita. What's up, Rex? Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've got a question for Tim.
Right.
I've always been impressed by how smooth and comfortable the ride is on the Royal Star. It seems like there's very little rocking and rolling on it, even compared to boats of a generally similar size. I had back-to-back trips a few years ago and got off, I think it was about an 85-footer, and got on the Royal Star a few days later. And it was a very, very noticeable difference. Is that due to the length width of the Royal Star, hull design, or something else? Thanks.
I'll tell you the number one thing that Royal Star has, and no other boat in this fleet, the center fuel tank is a stabilizing tank.
Oh.
It was designed to, it's, you know, all tanks have baffles in them to keep the free surface at a minimum, but that tank actually has, you know, it's like a picture of a wall right down the middle of the tank, and there's big crossovers in that wall, you know, big piece of pipe that are welded in there. And when the tank is at full capacity, it's not really doing much, but once we reduce the capacity down to, you know, two thirds and half full, it stabilizes through the transfer of liquid to the downwind side. It uses the free surface effect. So imagine the boat rolls sharply in one direction. All the fuel in that tank, whoosh, rolls to the downwind, downslope side, and it slows the counter roll.
Almost like a gyro.
Exactly. So
yeah.
the boat, what you'll notice about it when we have that tank really working right, the boat doesn't build momentum. You know, you get a boat where it's like you start rolling,
whoa,
it just keeps going, and oh god, it takes forever for it to come back up on level.
Right.
Royal Star, she goes over once and comes back up, and that's it. It's over.
Yeah. Huh. And, is that the first tank you suck down? Or
generally, we do a lot of. I'm glad you asked that because we. Obviously, got a lot of experience with the boat, and I know how she rides.
Years?
I've been on there since 1992. I've been running that boat.
Rad.
Like, think about that.
Yeah.
32 years.
Yeah, 32 years this year as captain. I've got, you know, over 5,000 days and
wow.
More. I mean, it's just it's really amazing the amount of time I've spent offshore on her. We have a really good feel for you know, we ballast also. We move fuel around in our tanks. There's five tanks on the boat. So I know how she rides best, how she's with you know, we move fuel to favor whatever the sea condition is. You know, if we're going up into the sea, we move a bunch of fuel back. We have a transfer pump in the engine room. So, you know, we take fuel out of the tank up forward and move it to a tank in the back to lift the bow so you're not just smashing into them. I mean, the bow lifts.
Yeah.
She also She drifts beautifully when the weather's up with weighting the stern, because you know that cabin. When you're drifting broadside, the wind actually pushes the cabin down a little past, you know, parallel, I'll say, to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd start taking the seas on the upwind corner rather than just laying in the trough and whap, you know, whiplashing back and forth. You kind of lay down and you go up and down on the corner over him. Now, I will say it can get a little wet in that corner.
Yeah.
as once in a while, a sea will actually come over the rail there.
Because there's a lot of weight over there.
Yeah, I mean, but it's well worth it.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, as long as
the stabilization.
As long as you have your waders on.
Yeah. How much fuel does the Royal Star carry?
She carries, it's 10,000 total capacity.
10,000 gallons.
Yeah. 10,000 when everything's pressed. But we usually leave on, our average load we leave with, say, on like a 10-day trip, is about 8,200.
Yeah, all right. Awesome. You're not going to run out of fuel.
Yeah, that's
no, definitely not. I consider 2,000 gallons empty.
That's wild.
Never get below that.
Want to remind you, this portion of the show is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. You can get the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase their famous spices, their rubs, the poke kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure you make those reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank Capresci of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Lobster season is here. It's time to gear up with the best in the business. Promar, based in SoCal. Promar knows lobster and makes everything you need to catch these tasty critters. The Promar guys are hardcore lobster fishermen and have designed the most successful hoop nets and accessories on the market, including the Ambush Series Hoop Net Line, the original hoop net designed for SoCal lobster hooping. Visit Promar on Facebook or on the web at promarahi.com.
Get ready for the largest event in our history. Saturday, November 4th, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. We'll have great savings from Daiwa on Lexa, Saltus, Saltiga, and the new Tanacom 1200. A fantastic offer on the Proteus Rod and SK Jig, too. Over 20 manufacturers' reps, including Daiwa, plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, huge raffle, and most of all, incredible deals on tackle. Up to 60% off. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 4th. The name that stands out amongst anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and, of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone, the Ford F-150, available with a pro-power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations just for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.